and brightest day, in blackest night, all other podcasts tremble in fright. Losers cower before the power. Orange is lust, and blues you can trust. Indigos feel, and white ones heal. Yellow scare, and green ones dare. That sapphire love and black hands glove will rock your foundation without hesitation. Chad and Mars face evil's might. Respect their power, for they'll make you see the light.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chad Bokelman.
I'm Mark Marble.
And this is the Lantern Cast.
Episode 604.
That's right. Current issue review time with Green Lantern number 23, right?
Yes. Super current, actually, but based on Green Lantern, our priority is based on GL June. That we're actually recording this the week it came out, but GL June must be released first, so that's why this being 604. Lifting the veil ever so slightly, but yes, you know, it should have been 603, but we have our GL. We are doing issue 2, right, of GL June?
Yeah,
that's why it was kind of important to at least get it out in the second week in June. So alrighty then, so let's just dive into this thing. We pick up exactly where we left off in Hell, and we find out, of course, that this surprised me, at least. This really is Nort, because I guess, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, there's these little Hell, these like little hell portals all throughout the universe that you can accidentally fly through. And somehow that's how Nort ends up in Hell. He doesn't realize he's in Hell. But that's exactly how we ended up here. So that was a bit odd. The Hell door. Again, that's Hal talking. So I'm surprised. Again, we can talk about the stuff that Hal knows and the stuff Hal knows and why he should know. So this issue's title is Hellbound. Writer Jeremy Adams, Germanico artist and cover artist, Romulo Fajardo Jr., colorist, Dave Sharp letterer, variant cover artist, Carlos De Anda, Mark Spears, Mirko Kolak, Super Smash-Up variant cover artist, Carl Kerschel, assistant editor, Jillian Grant, and Paul Kaminsky, as always, remains the editor or the group editor. The main reason why Hal Zoriel and the Phantom Stranger are in Hell is this character of Adia, who has a tie to Hal's time as the Spectre, as Chad and I were discussing. I do not believe we're supposed to know who this character is based on the Spectre book. I do not remember this character. I don't think there was any arc with this character. I think it's something we're going to find, just delving into Hal's background and his time as a Spectre. But it's like an unknown chapter, which would make sense. He has this necklace around his neck related to light, and that's what Hal is looking to take from him. Now, we keep cutting back and forth between Kyle, Connor, God, I just drew a blank. What's it? Sable. What's his name? Sable?
Silver Scarab.
Silver Scarab in Odyssey, who are trying to escape the Reach. They're having trouble with, it's like the middle. A lot of this is Star Wars-like, because they're having problems with their light speed, and they end up going through like the space worm in the asteroid field and things like that. So they're trying to escape from the Reach, and they're having problems. They go into the mouth of this space creature, like this space worm, to try to get away from the Reach, and the Reach ship smash into it when it closes its jaws. But then as they're flying through, you know, the creature continues to go try to get them and destroy their ship. So we keep cutting back to that story. We find out that, again, the necklace around Adia's neck was given to him or her by Hal when he was the Spectre. The idea that, again, that's why we got to have to get some backstory on this, because the whole point of that was that he could keep the light even in the dark. And at least Adia claims that he was kind of like helping the Hal and the Spectre by, you know, dealing with, you know, kind of like the disgust of the universe, which comes back into play. And Hal's kind of and Hal apologizes essentially for, yeah, I know what I said, but things changed. I need your necklace to save the universe, and so forth and so on.
I think, by the way, it's something Ada had, but Hal said that he could keep it, not that he gave it to him.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that is open to interpretation. You're right. I think that's probably more accurate. I think it is open to interpretation. I kind of just assumed Hal gave it to him, but you're right. Maybe he did have it to start with, and he just allowed them to keep it. But either way, he's Adia saying, "You disgust me. I'll have my revenge." And as they walk out away from him, now that they have the necklace, we hear, "No vengeance is mine," and we see the specter in the air, hovering above them. Eventually, by the way, because this is a very quick subplot overall, that Kyle and the company get away from this space slug, because essentially the light speed just starts activating itself. It gets initialized, and Kyle has no understanding of why. He asks Connell if he fixed it, and it's like, oh, maybe. And they just kind of fly out of there. So basically there's seemingly a spike in green energy, which is able to help them go into light speed and get away, which we will come back to and discuss. So we get the big confrontation between Hal and the Spectre, which objectively speaking isn't much of a real confrontation, just from the perspective that there is no deeper meaning to why the Spectre really wants Hal Jordan back as a host, other than the fact that Jim Corrigan's not his host anymore and he's hostless. So I think as we joked about before, I guess when it comes to being a host, it's like once you go Hal Jordan, you never go back, because the only thing the Spectre for some reason can think of is like, hey, you were my host once, so you're the one, you're the guy again. So he tries to literally force Hal Jordan to be his host, which is stupid because everybody, including Hal, again, how Hal would remember this or even know this is questionable. But the Spectre can't force somebody to become their host. They have to willingly accept it. But so the idea that the Spectre is almost trying to batter Hal into giving up, which is kind of weird because of the whole willpower thing, too. Hal gives a necklace to Zor-El and everybody else and say, you just get this out of here. You get it to Owa and I'll deal with the Spectre. And which they eventually find their way back to the portal in the church or whatever. While Hal and the Spectre keep duking it out. Eventually, Hal kind of seemingly imposes his will enough on the Spectre to realize it's like, this isn't going to work. You can't force me to do it. And the Spectre's almost like defeated, going like, then who? And it's like, it's not my problem. I don't care. It's like, but keep in mind, next time you find someone who's going to be a host, make sure you basically tell everybody what the job entails, because you need someone who can handle that burden. And my shoulders are too weak, which is another thing we can discuss. But right when they're in the church and they're about to close the portal, but Hal hasn't arrived yet. Hal zooms through. They finally close the portal. And they're going to be on their way to Owa with the necklace. But now, back in still in hell, Starbreaker, which we assume he got there because Sorrow was trailing everybody in the end of last issue, he confronts Adia and talks about that basically he has the power now to help you get your revenge, the revenge that you want. And I can pull it together because of the way the emotional spectrum is broken. I can pull its strands together to make you something new. And he goes, what name is like, what have you brought to the Starbreaker Corps? And it's like, disgust. So we assume he's going to be the Disgust Lantern. And that ends this issue.
Well, except for a preview.
Well, yeah, but and which is somewhat cute, but it has nothing to do with us in the Green Lanterns.
What's that word? Titanizing. I guess is what they call it. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Is that King Shark?
That's King Shark titanizing, titanized into something to fight Godzilla. That's anyway.
Spoiler alert, he's still going to lose.
Yeah. Okay. So I had a thought, and then it said Return of the Manhunters, so it could be them. And then I had another thought. Maybe Aya? Maybe.
It could be. I'm also thinking Ion. I'm thinking related to the Ion cover we talked about. I'm talking especially because it's Kyle. Because it seemingly comes from Kyle. Because it looks like it's an influx of green energy. Yes, it could be Aya. But because of Kyle's connection to Ion, my initial thought was that it could be... This could be the fact that maybe this is the moment the Ion entity potentially comes back into the universe and Kyle, of all people, would have a connection to it.
But yeah, so I initially thought Aya, because they've been dropping hints about Aya for a while, but I would hope that Jeremy makes that a bigger deal than it is, than dropping it in the middle of this story.
But considering the ship keeps flying backwards, right? But
yeah. And then... And then it said Manhunters. I was like, oh, okay, well, Manhunters have access to tech and green energy. Okay, there's something there. But also, if we remember, Aya did hide herself in some Manhunter technology at one point when she lost corporeal form in the series, if I remember that right. Just hop between Manhunter bodies and stuff like that. So there could be that. Then there's also Solicits talking about a lost ally's attempt to reveal itself in Green Lantern 24. And then they're talking about an old friend returning to Oa in the Solicits for issue 25. So I don't know. But then I was also thinking, you know, okay, so Aya has a connection with the Interceptor, or the Manhunters could have just via tech and will could connect to the Interceptor, or people who built the Interceptor. What if Ganthet's back? You know?
Yeah, I mean,
it was Guardian. It was a Guardian ship, right?
Might be, but when you were talking about like the ally returning to Oa, Ganthet kind of popped into my head for what it's worth. You would think Ganthet would be, well, you would like to think Ganthet would be involved somewhere with something, other than waiting to show up with the to show up to get killed again in some stupid crisis event. There are, and I did remember the thing I did want to talk about at the end, not related to the issue actually. Yes, I was really looking forward to this issue. I was inherently disappointed by the fact that there was no. I mean, the Spectre kind of hints that there's something, that there's bigger there's bigger fish to fry, why he's looking for a host, but it's not very, like a lot of the stuff, it's not really fleshed out at all. It just seems almost like he's like being a petulant child, and the fact that he's hostless, and hey, you were my host once, you're gonna be my host again, not because he makes no appeal to Hal, like there's some serious shit going down soon, and the only way the universe is gonna be safe is if you and I come together, because I not only do I need a host, I need a host who's capable of not only wielding this power, but controlling controlling me and reining me in if I need being reined in too. That would have been a much more logical and powerful argument than the crap that we get here.
I don't know how I feel about that, just mostly because, first, whenever the Spectre is hostless, he always acts like a dumbass in some respect. He's got no guiding light, regardless of whether it's Corrigan or what was the guy's name before Hal? Not before Hal, after Hal.
Crispus.
Yes, Crispus Allen.
Atticus or whatever it was.
Yeah, Crispus. I think it was Crispus Allen. I thought. I don't know. I could. Whatever. And then we have Hal. But whenever he's hostless, he always is a bit unhinged, whether that's completely villainous unhinged or just idiotic unhinged or whatever.
You're
he's
right,
always
Alan.
Somehow off his rocker. And also in terms of him talking about, you know, there's bigger things at play. That's also the Spectre's bag when he talks about, when anybody talks to him about things that are going on, he's always talking about the important work, his holier mission. So he could be talking about important work in the grand scheme of God's message, God's mission of him being the spirit of vengeance, as opposed to anything going on with the Spectrum right now or anything else bigger in the DC universe. He's always sort of focused on his quote unquote mission and prioritizing that above everything else, a la Crisis, up until a certain point, of course. But yeah, I don't know. I'm also thinking back to Final Night. He refused to help, but he was like, "I'll help keep the Earth warm." He was hanging out with Gaia, right? The spirit of the Earth in Final Night.
That sounds somewhat correct, and we know it took forever for him to even get involved in Zero Hour.
Yep, exactly. So he's always prioritizing his shit above everybody else, even when there are actual bigger fish to fry than his holy mission. So I don't know. I don't know that I buy that completely. Just to be devil's advocate there.
No, I.
pun intended, I guess.
No, I mean, yeah, that was good. I think you're right. I think it would have made it for a better story, though. I mean, let's be blunt. Let's cut to the chase. If we can have in the Alan Scott story, Alan, the Spectre pretty much giving Alan Scott a hug and tell him, "Oh, it's okay, Alan." Then we can go slightly off course to have a hostless Spectre, or at least try to make a rational argument why you should be my host again, as opposed to, "Hey, you did it before." This was a much less satisfying pseudo reunion between Hal and the Spectre than we got during the Grant Morrison run. That was a much more honest homage. It seems like, it's being blunt, it seems like the only reason that this is even in here is just so we can have this character that has ties to, is going to have an axe to grind against Hal, so now he's going to be another part of the fractured emotional spectrum. It was okay. I had higher hopes for this. Like you and I talked about before we started recording, it's highly debatable how much of this whole background with this character that Hal would actually remember. Because the whole point was, as in Green Lantern Rebirth, I believe, the fact that Hal's memories of his time as the Spectre were pretty hazy to begin with. That he remembers being the Spectre, but he doesn't really remember much about his time as the Spectre. So remembering very particular events that are not tied to the moment he became the Spectre, or when he ended his reign as the Spectre and came back in Rebirth. It's kind of questionable how much he's going to know. And even like this whole hell portal thing. I mean, unless he knows that as a Green Lantern, it's possible, but they're throwing a lot of stuff out that implies that most of the stuff that he's talking about in this issue is because of his time as the Spectre. I don't know. I don't necessarily think that resonates all that much to me. The stuff with Kyle and Connor and everybody, again, it was cute. It kind of really was a waste of, you know, short term again. I've been trying to think what Jim talked about in the last time when we did Core, about trying to be a little more objective and looking big picture at some of what Jeremy's doing, and not looking for maybe instant gratification, and maybe some of the stuff would be more satisfying. But I think that would be easier if we were getting some things. There were some things that would be satisfying short term as well, and I don't think we get a whole lot of that.
I mean, if you're right that it is Ion, it makes sense then that the energy kicks in very shortly after everybody's saying like, "Hey, nice fly-in, Captain." It's enough to make Hal proud. Kyle's really exerting himself and, you know, showcasing a lot of will, I guess, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Really pushing himself. So there's that. He's very quiet and focused when they're talking about it's a power surge. So, yeah, it could be torchbearer activities. Plus, again, what we were talking about with the solicit for 26, showing the cover by Marion, Ken Marion, I believe, first of all, you've seen the whole image, right?
Yes, I've seen the other side of the image now.
Okay. So we see a Carol on top of Predator, Hal on top of Parallax with a collar around him. Yeah. But Kyle is riding Ion. The other image, by the way, being apparently there's a Sorrow entity, it looks like, that Sorrow is writing. So there, that's strange. But anyway,
Starbreaker was there, right? Starbreaker's in the
image.
Yeah, too.
But not, there's no, yeah, he's there. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
The interesting part is that there's an entity out of nowhere, a new entity.
Yeah. Which again, and this is the stuff again, between short-term satisfaction and long-term, and we need explanations for the stuff. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think he's going to give us it, because I think he has to, now that we're going to have this Sorrow entity, and we're seemingly going to have not just – we have to assume at the moment that these are the entities that we already know. Obviously, Parallax is easy, because Parallax never left to go refill the reservoir, so we know Parallax is floating out there anyway. Multiple Parallaxes are floating out there. But Ion, we're going to assume it's still the original Ion. I think the only thing we can assume at the moment is all those entities that went to fill the reservoir really aren't dead, and they're back, which, again, could just be because the emotional spectrum is fractured. The wall, if you will, that needed to keep them behind to refill the reservoir, and maybe they never needed to stay the entire time anyway, or maybe this will create a problem with the reservoir again down the road. But maybe they just had to go into like a stasis for a while until the reservoir sucked enough emotional energy out of them. Then they technically were free to go, but they had nowhere to go. They had nowhere to come back. And now because it fractured, now they're able to come back to where they belong. As long as we get an explanation, I'm okay with it. Because Lord knows they really haven't done enough. If we talk about Adar, like when we did the cover 600 episode, that the reality is it'd be nice to see more with some of these. Now, it also would be kind of interesting because if the Butcher comes back, we have the Butcher and we still have the Rage Seed growing in in Earth. that's like the first time we would see a potential conflict where we would have two, not two of the same entity like with Parallax, we would have two different entities representing the same part of the emotional spectrum. But I like that cover. Let's hope from a storytelling perspective it actually makes sense and it pays off.
I'm a little worried a bit about this last panel or two with Norbert.
Yep, me too.
He says, sure, yeah. But so, like, it makes me think he has an ulterior motive. He's corrupted somehow, or he's not who he says he is. But then we have that whole moment earlier when Zauriel and Phantom Stranger are fighting off the demons when he's talking to himself saying, you can do this. So the idea that he is not at least himself is kind of out the window, because why would he talk to himself like this when nobody's able to hear him, you know? So it just, the way he says, sure, yeah, and looks defeated and upset or something, I don't know. There's something off about that. Artistically speaking. But as a fan of the character, I am sad to say I must ask the question, because if I'm being objective, why was the Phantom Stranger here?
Yep.
Because Hal gets the key from Director Bones. He and Zauriel and Phantom Stranger go to the castle or whatever to unlock the door. But I pulled up issue 22 and looked at those panels. Hal finds the door and uses the key to open it. Not Phantom Stranger, not Zauriel. Zauriel is there because only someone from above can unlock a door from below. He unlocks the door to get to who we will come to know as Disgust. Okay. Phantom Stranger's there to fight. He helps fight back the demons while they're trying to get out of there. Zauriel closes the door. What was Phantom Stranger here for?
Just to say that the timely advice, like, we better hurry up, Hal. This is not a time to choke, Hal. We got dinner reservations tonight, Hal.
And I get from your perspective, and even from my perspective as a Green Lantern fan, and given Hal's pass of the Spectre, yes, this is a conversation and a confrontation we want to see. Also, as a Phantom Stranger fan, the Spectre and the Phantom Stranger have squared off quite a bit. The Spectre showing up could have been a reason to involve Phantom Stranger, given their history. But we didn't see that.
No, I mean, again, going back to some of the stuff Jim and I talked about, the idea of having non-Green Lantern characters palling around with Green Lanterns is understandable, and it makes sense, and it can make for good stories, and it can bring in other readers.
I like the world building.
Yeah, the world building is good, but the stories that they're involved in have to make some kind of sense, and it seems like, oh yeah, this character is kind of critical to be there. So like you're talking about, it's like, you're right, Zauriel is obviously much more important than Phantom Stranger and the role that we're seeing here. Maybe it's just because it tends to be the normal MO when we go on these things. It's often the Phantom Stranger and often Zauriel's involved. Whether it's Purgatory or Heaven and Hell, it seems like those are the two characters that seem to always accompany somebody. But yeah, I don't necessarily think that was particularly satisfying either. Just like we have to see what the whole Silver
to Jim's credit, what he was talking about, technically at the end of this issue, that story, that team up isn't over, because the last time we see them, they're all standing together. For all we know, we may still see them together next issue. But I'm thinking we'll just see Hal off, you know, I got the piece, I'm flying back into space. That's the way Jeremy's pacing has been going. But maybe there's still more to be seen with this small little ragtag team real quick. And maybe then Phantom Stranger will have some sort of you know, as he does, dire cryptic warning about what he's heading off into.
Yeah, I mean, just like the whole Silver Scarab or whatever, that group, we don't really know how much of a what role that's going to play yet, and they're not giving us a whole lot of pieces. I mean, all we know is Odyssey was willing to sell everybody up or down the river, depending on one's perspective, one's direction, last issue, and now all of a sudden, oh yeah, she seems like she's back on board, and it's like, I don't know, it could pay off. It's not conceptually isn't the issue. The issue having non-Green Lantern characters here is whether the story that they're telling with them makes sense, and whether it makes sense with that these are the characters. Oh, it makes perfect sense. We understand why this character is in this story for this reason, and why this character is uniquely qualified to fill that role. It, even based on, if you look at the end of the book, looking at where everybody's standing, yeah, if you had to guess, it's going to be Hal and Nort going back to Oa, and that's going to be the end of Zor-El and the Phantom Stranger's role in this. Based on the way it's drawn, it kind of implies that too. But we'll see. We don't know when this arc ends yet, right? We don't have the solicits have not gone that far.
26, let's see, because the solicits usually tell you, like, the penultimate issue or
right.
some
26 is the one with all the entities, right?
Yeah, and that's as far as solicits go. The final sentence of that is, but with the Starbreaker supremacy devouring the power of the stars themselves, the GLC must race against the clock or lose everything. That without saying penultimate or final issue, that sounds like we're closing in on it at the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what, 19? 19 was the first issue of this arc, right? And not counting, not counting the one shot. I mean, actually, in this book. All right, so we've had 19, 20, 21, 22. So we're gonna still have like about 8 or 9 issues just of Green Lantern covering this arc. So if it ends before 12 issues, then at least it wouldn't have lasted a full year with the asterisk, of course, we're telling the story now in two books. Not that core.
We still have to go to Gem World.
God. Yeah. Gem World is what, core? Is that core? Or is this the next
25.
Issue? Oh, that's where Kyle's going. That's where Kyle and company are going. That's right.
Well, Hal too from the cover.
Oh yeah, because they're gonna need something else related to building the power batteries.
So what's in his necklace was source energy, right? That's what he said he was after.
I believe so. Yes, it was source energy. That's what I took from that too. Now, how that character got that, why it's so powerful enough to be able to. There's a lot of questions, and again, there's supposed to be questions, and that's, you understand that to a certain extent, but as we've seen so far, I think a fair criticism of Jeremy's run so far is we get a whole lot of questions, and we get very few answers, very few timely answers, too, and then even the answers we get, how satisfying are they? So, I don't know. I really thought this arc was going to be more interesting up to where we are at this. I'm kind of, I can't say I'm shocked that we are where we are, but I am a little disappointed. I thought this arc was going to be inherently more, and it, I guess by default, because the Durlin stuff was inherently uninteresting to me, that I would say this arc is still more interesting, but it's not giving us a whole lot to go on here.
I'm over on LeagueOfComicGeeks.com just kind of scrolling through some of the various comments on this. One of them, I wish we had a bigger reason for Phantom Stranger and Zor-El and showing it up because they were just kind of there. So it looks like other people are picking up on some of it. But I see a lot of 4 and 5 star, 4.5 star reviews over here. So it looks like, generally speaking, lots of people seem to be enjoying it. But there are a lot of people talking about happy to have Zermanico back, which, by the way, yes, commenting on the art, happy about a lot of the art here.
I don't think it started off strong, though. I didn't like the art in the beginning of the book. That first page, Nort doesn't really even look really like, he just kind of looks like a dude with a mustache, but I don't like the way Hal is drawn in on that first page when they're talking to Nort all that much. I do think the art got stronger in the book. And I think although one thing I didn't like about the art was that weird kind of like, I guess it's supposed to be like the high speed, however they did the coloring and the shading or the. They made it like blurry.
Oh yeah, gotcha.
I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. Right. I understand the effect, but I that was not. And I guess it's designed not to be easy on the eyes, but it's a fine line between being creative and to get the point across, and it actually being uncomfortable to read or to stare at. I think this issue by default is certainly better than the last couple of ones we've gotten, so I can understand why people like this more. I just had higher hopes.
Agreed.
I had higher hopes for this issue.
For those of you, because I think I saw someone out there talking about why Nort was saying, no, we can't go in there, Hal. Even the creatures, I mean, demons, I guess, try to avoid this place. For those of you who don't know, in continuity, there are tiers to demons in hell. So it would not surprise me at all that even demons wouldn't, I don't know. Now, I don't know about necessarily be scared of the creature we come to know as Disgust, but it would make sense for other demons to give him wide berth.
I don't think that would be a big issue one way or the other. I think that makes sense.
All right. Anything else?
All right. So I think we're done with the issue. Again, better than I think what we've gotten lately from this book. So I think that's a plus. So going along with that theme of, hey, things are kind of looking at least somewhat upward. Let's talk about the sales, the April sales, which finally, Comic Book Revolution finally updated this. It was kind of funny. I mean, they're like 10 days beyond when they updated it for the March sales. I just happened to look this afternoon, right after you told me about that the issue was ready for my perusal. And then it's like, oh, let me give it one last shot to see if the sales were there. And it's like, boom. So the resolicits resolicited Absolute Green Lantern, that was number 19. So that was kind of cool for what it's worth. I said kind of on an island, but still. Apparently issue 2 was not out. Issue 2 must have come out technically in May, which would make sense. So that's why there wasn't another individual issue there. So looking at the actual sales, Green Lantern Corps 3 actually moved up a few spots and went from 80 to 74 on the list. That's improvement. Not much, but it's also didn't keep falling. So that's pretty important. Green Lantern 22 actually moved up quite a bit from 128 to number 95. I mean, it's still crappy, but it's a lot less crappy. At least it's in the top 100 again. I don't know why Comic Book Revolution wants to always point. They do have this thing pointing fingers at Kyle being featured in the book as the reason why the sales numbers are down. And I don't necessarily think that wouldn't even cross my mind as one of the major reasons why this book is, if it has dropped off or isn't just selling well, period, it's not because I think Kyle's getting more page time. But it's interesting that they just keep doubling down on that. Green Lantern Dark actually increased too, which was probably the most surprising thing on this whole list, is that it moved from 180 all the way up to 156. Still horrible, but it's just interesting that so far into this run, that basically more than halfway through its 7-issue arc, that now all of a sudden it's gained a little bit of traction. I'm not quite sure why, if this is accurate.
It's the Batman effect.
Maybe. Yeah, that's actually a good observation. That might be, because, yeah, Green Lantern Dark did have a lot more of a heavy Batman presence than the issue before. So you could be right. That could be enough to bump it up a little bit.
And quote-unquote a new Batman. You know what I mean?
Character
of some kind. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still so much surprising since this book has been pretty consistent in selling poorly for the first 3 issues. And, again, the bi-monthly schedule has been no favor to anyone when it comes to this book. But so it's kind of surprising. I mean, in a positive way, maybe it's a little surprising, but every single one of these books certainly stopped the bleeding and made some improvement. So now let's see if it happens when the May sales come out. Let's see if this is a trend. Moving Absolute Green Lantern aside, because you assume Absolute Green Lantern will still sell well, even if it doesn't sell as well, shouldn't sell as well as the first issue. But even if it, it's almost guaranteed. Let's say it's going to be guaranteed in the top 50 no matter what. Let's see if Core can start creeping up into the top, getting close to maybe 60. Let's see if Green Lantern can start moving closer into the top 75. And then we have a trend. And we can actually have a trend and say, okay, maybe whatever some of the baggage that was kind of like being the albatross or the anchor around the neck of this book or these books, maybe they're starting to get some kind of mojo back. So that's something to hope for and to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. One thing I wanted to mention just real quick, and I sent Mark an image a minute ago. I didn't realize it until just now. I was looking into what's, as we record this, what's coming out next week. And of course, we've got Absolute Green Lantern number 3. And then there's the new Pride variant, which
the 2025 Pride issue, which is going to have some Alan stuff and some Joe stuff, according to the solicit. But the Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong, the second entry into that story, starts up with an issue number one. And I only mention it because there's a very particular variant, which is cover D, as we see it. And it's got Hal featured prominently on the front, his ring lighting up. We got Barry running off to the side. We also see Godzilla and Ghidorah. But I mention this because, do you know who did this artwork?
Yeah, it looks like it's Hardman.
Yep, Gabriel Hardman. So we haven't seen some Green Lantern artwork from Gabriel Hardman since Green Lantern Earth 1.
Number 2.
So I think.
Volume 2.
So I just think that's unique. We haven't seen him do Green Lantern in a while. He's known for, you know, at least by Green Lantern fans, as being somebody who did Green Lantern artwork. And we see him featured on a variant for Green Lantern, Godzilla versus Kong versus the Justice League. Number one, I know not a lot of people are, you know, always after variants, including yourself, Mark, but this might be one worth picking up. I think Hal's hair laying flat on his face
I was going to point that out. I don't like always being glass half emptier, though I always try to be honest. Yes, that's the only negative. His hair does not really look Hal Jordan like. The face does, which is kind of cool because we're not used to seeing him draw Hal Jordan without a beard usually, either.
That's true.
So, but if his
and
hair
Ghidorah looks crazy good.
Yeah, if the hair on Hal was a little less flat, but I guess you could chalk it up as what at the moment, you know, he's just been kind of through hell that moment, so that might explain why his hair is a little less perfect. But yeah, it is a really cool cover. I might have to, and that comes out what, this coming week?
Yeah, next week.
Cool.
As we record this.
Yep. So it'll already be out by like a week or two by the time it sees the light of day.
True, but I don't anticipate it being a big seller. It could be. You never know. Variant covers are kind of a hit or miss game in terms of predicting whether or not they'll sell well or not. I will say, though, it should be easier for us to find because it's not an incentive cover like a 1 in 25 or 1 in 50 or 1 in 100 type of thing. For those of you who don't know, that means the store you get it at has to have bought at least 25 copies of an issue to get the one variant for a 1 in 25, and then onward, so on for 1 in 50, 1 in 100, so on and so forth. This is not one of those limited incentive covers, so it should be relatively easy, let's hope, to find this. I would hope it is at the very least, but I'm definitely going to go after it. I think why the hell not? It's Gabriel Hardman, Green Lantern. I'm down.
Yeah, I think that definitely, especially for anyone who's interested in the series, it would be crazy not to try to go after this cover if you can find it.
For sure. All right. Anything else?
No, I don't think so. Not today.
All right. Well, if people want to reach out to us, how do they do so?
LanternCast@gmail.com. The website is LanternCast.com. You can follow us on Blue Sky, Twitter, like us on Facebook, #GLCast to track us down there. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and wherever you listen to us on, please leave us a positive review. Last but not least, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail or a text, 708-LANTERN. And we actually did have a request for our Discord, which still exists, and the invite still works. It's just funny. It's just funny that I had to go out and had to generate a new one from inside Discord which I don't remember that I was doing in the past. I think I could just cut and paste it, but that didn't work. That wasn't working anymore. I had to actually generate. It's the same number, the same thing technically, but I just had to generate it myself, and that worked. But yeah, it's still a thing.
An active thing.
It probably is. It probably was just an inactivity because it's been a while since we sent it out. But that was my instinct was, let me just go back to the last time I sent one to someone via the email. It's like, and I tested it myself because I always try to do that with links. And it's like, okay, that didn't work. And it's like, it's right. But then I finally, after going to Discord myself, which I hadn't done in forever, and playing around with it, it's like, okay, now I see where I can generate the and invite myself with the code, and I just cut and pasted that one, and boom, that one worked. So, yes, if you want to, if you're still interested in our Discord, just email us, and we will take care of you.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you later.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.